Trigger warning. This episode contains sensitive topics such as murder and suicide. Please listen at your own discretion. Living through traumatic situations can be debilitating for individuals and the groups that live through it. Some traumatic events are even passed on through generations and generations. Experts call this phenomenon generational trauma. Generational trauma was first described in descendants of Holocaust survivors and, amongst other, also in descendants of Native Americans. According to the American Psychological Association, generational trauma creates emotional and behavioral reactions that often mirror those of the relative. Everybody can experience different reactions. Most often, those are fight, flight, or freeze responses. But responses can also be more nuanced and can present, for example, as hyper-independence and people-pleasing tendencies. Today, we want to talk about one specific case from Ireland, in which a German businessman was kidnapped and murdered in 1973 by the Irish Republican Army, in short, IRA. 50 years later, the family is still suffering from the trauma they have endured by losing their loved ones to the Troubles. Here, we shortly want to give some historical context for what the IRA and the Troubles is. The Troubles were a conflict in Northern Ireland that began in 1968 and lasted 30 years. The conflict was predominantly between the Protestant Unionists, who wanted to be part of the United Kingdom, and the Roman Catholic Nationalists, who wanted Northern Ireland to become part of the Republic of Ireland. Different army and police forces were also at play, mostly as a peacekeeping role between the Unionist military forces and the Irish Republican Army, in short IRA. According to Statista, over 1,800 of the killing during the Troubles are attributed to the IRA. One of the victims was Thomas Niedermeyer, manager of the Grundig factory in Belfast, who was kidnapped and murdered when he tried to escape. The IRA never gave the family an explanation about what actually happened, nor have they ever apologized. What follows now is an interview with the granddaughter Tanya Williams Powell, who tragically lost her mother, father, grandmother, and aunt to suicide as a result of the kidnapping and murder of the industrialist.
I can imagine that it must be very difficult for you to talk about these things. What made you want to talk about your situation?
When I was first approached about the documentary, I was willing to participate with the intention of letting people know that the cycle of grief can stop and that they can overcome it, even if it seems so hard and suffocating. And hoping people can take something positive from it, I intended to participate. Also, by highlighting this one case, we are showing that so many victims and stories could well be similar to ours, and sharing my case might be helpful and supportive to them.
How did the family of Thomas Niedermeyer deal with his tragic death?
His murder affected Inga and their daughter so profoundly that they never got over it. I recall seeing Inga when I was young, and all I saw of her was a very sad person who hadn't gotten over what had happened, and it seemed to just weigh her down all the time. Unfortunately, she later took her own life. Following her, their two daughters, Renate and my mother, Gabriella, both also took their lives, as did my father. Renate and Gabby seemed quite estranged as well. They were teenagers at the time of his death. They felt guilty and couldn't talk to each other, particularly my mom, who overshadowed her entire life. I think mental health issues, especially back then, were even more taboo than they still are now. It was all swept under the carpet.
What do you think about the absence of an apology by the IRA and the lack of explanation about what happened?
I do believe victims have a right to know what happened to their family members. I find it very difficult to comprehend in my mind how people can admit to committing heinous acts and not expect some kind of consequences for committing those crimes. I would like them to publicly acknowledge what had happened. It is part of the thing with the amnesty bill. Do we want truth? Do we want justice? And is that a very tricky balance to be made? I would say that truth and justice should actually go hand in hand, and there must be a better way of getting both of those for the victims and for everyone to be able to move on. But I do think that the perpetrators of violent acts should receive some sort of punishment.
Do you think this will affect your children?
They should be aware of it, and they should have some understanding, but it will not define their lives the way it has defined ours. I have taught them to be empathetic, confident children who have questioning minds. They are kind and aware of other people, and emotionally intelligent to understand their own emotions, which was not something we were taught.
Do you feel like the arrest of the four murderers served justice for the death of Mr. Niedermeyer?
In a way, we're lucky that we did have those criminal trials and people were found guilty. I'm not sure if the people who will say violence was our only option really understand the effects it has on families and friends and the wider community that it involves.
In 2011, you have participated in a victims event. Would you like to share a message with other victims or people who might be going through a similar situation?
I just hope that me attending this Europeans victim event will help other people to realize that you're not alone, that everybody's experiences are different. It doesn't have to be everything that you are, and you can actually move on and break the cycle of grief and depression. Learn from it. Educate your youngsters that violence isn't always the right way to go about things. The way that we teach our children now about communication, empathy, and understanding is a much better way to get your point of view across, as far as I'm concerned. There are people out there who can help. And if me speaking about our situation helps anyone, that makes this trip so worthwhile.
All right, thank you, Ms. Powell. We appreciate your insight on your personal experience on this tragic event. We wish you and your family all the best.
Generational trauma can slowly poison people and hurt loved ones even decades later. Especially in the case of family Niedermeyer, this is very evident. But one question remains open. How do we heal from this trauma and how do we stop it from spreading? Candace Jones suggests the three R's. Recognizing. Recognize and then ask for help. A therapist can address the problems you are having and help you overcome them by managing your thoughts and feelings and developing positive coping skills. Resilience. The ability to overcome misfortunes and to surround yourself with systems of support, for example, your family, friends, or teachers. Having healthy relationships can provide the safe, stable, nurturing connections and positive experiences your brain and body need to be set. Practicing gratitude is also helpful. And finally, restore. Restore your body and brain to healing practices. We looked at generational trauma, specifically the case of the family Niedermeyer and how the tragedy of Mr. Niedermeyer's death triggered a chain reaction in the family. But we also looked at ways in which one can start their own healing journey and break the cycle of generational trauma.
If you or a loved one might be suffering, do not hesitate to seek out help. The following institutions could be a first step. For the UK, the National Suicide Helpline, and for Ireland, the Samaritans. In Germany, the Telefonseelsorge can be a first contact point. On their website, you can also find the telephone numbers if you want to talk to someone.
With that, we want to conclude our episode. We wish you all the best and see you next time.